When we think about life, we think about pain, joy, peace, turbulence, stagnancy, growth, and a bunch of other things. Things that guide our experiences and how we view the batshit crazy society we live in. And with that, I bid you welcome to the Volatile Times with Daniel podcast, a show where I, Daniel, your host, seeks to bring just a little bit of balance to the table. So sit back, relax, and listen, because you are in for a treat. Hello, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, good whatever time of the day you are listening to this, and welcome to another episode of the Volatile Times with Daniel podcast. Now, I am so grateful for everybody who listened to the last episode. I'm so grateful for everybody who found that helpful. Thank you for the comments and everything. And, you know, it's happy to have you and happy to know that these episodes are making an impact. And today's episode is going to be I can't even describe it in words. Some of you were able to catch the meeting yesterday, but not a lot of people were around. But still, hearing this after, it's going to be a blessing to every single one of you. Like the guest, Mr. Kelechi Oji, he is smart. He is wow. He basically offered up a lot of things, a lot of wisdom yesterday, and it was mad, yo. It was mad. And there's so much information to digest. There's so much things to digest here and think about here. And I don't want to waste time for you to get into it. So
without further ado, let's get straight into the episode.
So tonight, first things first, my name is Daniel. Adisa Daniel. I am the host of Volatile Times with Daniel podcast. And this right here is actually a live recording for the podcast episode that's coming out tomorrow. And I have with me here my boss. I call him Uncle Kelechi because he's such a fun guy to talk to. And he asks questions that make my head blow up. Like whenever I'm teaching Bible study, I always fear this guy asking questions. So his name is Kelechi Oji. He's an information technology security specialist. That alone just says exactly how smart he is. And he's also a podcaster. He owns his own show, A to D Talk Show, Agree to Disagree Talk Show. And it's a talk show that delves deep. It's not afraid to delve deep into issues and, you know, come from different perspectives. I think the last episode was it on socialism or was it the one on toxic?
Socialism. Yeah. Socialism and capitalism.
Yeah, I listened to that episode and I was like, what? Okay, no. At some point, I was like, I disagree with this. But the same, because it's almost seemed like as if both of you were just on for socialism and I wasn't hearing any opposing views. And then it just went like a 360 and I was like, okay, this is it. So, like, yeah, I am glad to have you here today.
Yeah.
So, the topic, somebody actually queried me that why did I name the topic Roadmap to a Youth Presidency? I actually just wanted it to be like a soundbite because, you know.
Yeah.
But the topic is actually us talking about the 2023 elections, rather, and what that landscape should look like. You know, it's going to be a youth presidency because I feel there's going to be a change to the way leadership is conducted in this country, a change to the kind of people we are electing. So it's going to be young. It's going to be something that we don't really have much experience with. That's why I call it a youth presidency. So it's not so much as electing somebody young, but more so as electing a new system of governance, a new system of leadership in the country. And just to get a couple of things out of the way, just a couple of definitions and then, you know, going to this. Just want to give a short brief of what the electoral system is. Because one thing I've noticed a lot is in Nigeria here, and I hope I'm not attacking anybody because I'm included in this, we are very, very politically apathetic to the situation in Nigeria. Like, we don't really care so much for the politics of how things are run and how things are going. And I'm included, like, in this discussion right now as a political layman, like the lay of the lay. Like, I know absolutely nothing about politics. I am just getting interested because of the NSAS protests that happened lately. So the electoral system is a method through which citizens of a certain country elect their presidents, their governors, or other administrative or political officials to oversee the affairs of the nation. And that seems like a very, very justifiable, you know, quick summary of what it is. I don't know why my webcam is fizzling out, but it's fizzling out. So that is what the electoral system is. It's the system for us to elect those who we want to lead us, elect down, right down from chairman to the local government leader, to the Senate, to the National Assembly, everything. Because I was reading on about the electoral process, and I saw that, you know, it goes National Assembly polls first, then after, you know, the presidential election, that's the vice president and president, and then after it goes to the gubernatorial, forgive me for butchering this thing. Let me just say the election of governors, you understand? I don't know why it's given such a complex name. And then after that, we have the state assembly elections. So, Mr. Kelechi, it means there's a lot of position that is going to be filled coming 2023, right? So, I want to ask a question.
Finish your thought
because I think you are going to answer my question at that point.
So the question I wish to ask is the entire electoral college thing and why people have political apathy, but I think I'll talk about it when we dive deep into the subject matter. So you can go on.
Okay, so one question I wanted to ask is, there's something I wrote here in my notes. We have 3 senatorial districts in each state, with the capital being recognized as one district itself. So which in total, we have 109 senatorial districts in Nigeria because we have 36 states. So that means there are a lot of positions to be filled, a lot of positions, like 360 federal constituencies only in Nigeria, 360. That is a lot. So now my question is... My question is, how much of these positions can be filled by young people, young political aspirants, people who are new to the political landscape, people who don't have as much experience as the Obasanjos and the Buharis of, you know, the caucus? Like, how much of that can be filled by young people, actually?
So first things first, Daniel, I just want to thank you for having me on your show. And I appreciate this is a privilege for me to speak about these political views. And thank you for such an awesome, review of myself. I didn't even think so highly of myself like that, but thank you, I appreciate. So to answer your question, right, about the way the youthful people can feel this constituency, what I will tell you is this. The most important position in Nigeria's political landscape is the presidency. And the reason I say this is, you may not know, or people, can anyone hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, so.
Yes, we can.
Okay, so the reason is this. The Nigerian constitution is, I may say, in a mess. Because when you look at the list, the concurrent, the exclusive, and the residual list, and you see that over 60 items are on the exclusive list. This list talks about the things that the federal government are in control of. And you look at the concurrent list, what the federal government and the state government are in control of. You see that at the end of the day, people on the state level cannot even do so much as regards to national development than the presidency. So for the youthful people, this is what I have to say. And as regards to us achieving the positions in the federal constituency, first, the biggest electoral problem we have in the country is people's political people's political apathy, like you spoke about. Now, this apathy is deleterious to the entire electoral system because people have so much distrust for the system. Now, the first way to do it, if the youthful people, due to the whole EndSARS process and protest, have come out to say we are going to create a political party. Now, first things first, I feel creating a political party has been something that people have done in the past. We have over 50 political parties that come up with presidential nominees every 4 years. And still, for the past, since 1999, we have had either PDP or APC, PDP being having 16 years of presidency. So the youth people must first not be elected because they are young. No, the criteria of you running the country is not you being young. It's for you showing their leadership skills and the way you must sell that to the Nigerian people. That's one. Two, you must show that you're capable of listening to people, not your advisors, but to the Nigerian people. You must, because one thing we have noticed is people say a lot of things, and when they get into that political sphere, they lose it. Thirdly, you must be strong because you're not going to. Disney Island. You're not going to Disney Island. You're going to be. People are going to fight you because you're young. People are going to fight because you want to change the system. When I say young, I don't mean young in age. But I mean you are very much current with the world, to the first century world. Right, so it's not going to be about, oh, you know what, I'm young, so therefore I should be elected. No, that's not the criteria. By the way, we have seen in America, we have Donald Trump, who is 74 years, Joe Biden, who is 77. Right, so being young isn't the criteria for you to rule. Yes, but the thing is, you must prove to yourself as an individual that you have leadership skills. Prove to the people you are going to lead, the people who are going to entrust the leadership of this country to you, that you're going to lead them. And I do not support this whole, you must have a good political track record, which means before you get into politics, you must have a good political track record. No. The most important thing as a politician is you must have the heart of the people. So for the way the young people can fill up the seats, is young people need to come out and actually sell themselves. Not saying, oh, I'm young, so therefore vote me. No, you must come out and sell themselves. And how they will do this, we'll talk about it as the podcast, as this meeting continues.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so very much for that. Like, that was actually quite insightful because it reminded me of a conversation I and a friend were having and how, you know, 2023 election is going to be so very different. We all know that because of what has currently happened this year. Right? But we're worrying a lot about new people that were going to be coming onto the scene. We're going to be having names that we've not heard of before. We don't know of their credibility. We don't know. And any position in government, whether it is the lowest position or the highest position, is not something you can just hand over because you know, this person looks cute or this person is young or this person speaks well. It's actually a position that we need credible people in. And I think that's where the problem of, you know, track record comes in. You know, if we know your track record, we know what to expect of you. You know, we know how you perform. We know what your stand is. We know what your policies are or what your assumed policies will be. So that is where track record comes in. And, you know, it reminds me of 2019 election. And we saw so many new people coming onto the scene. We saw, you know, new faces, people were articulate, you know, and they didn't have a lot of support because some of them were actually quite young, but we did see them win some places. I can't remember the name of the political party, but political party that won, was it Oyo? You know, there were a lot of people that were voting for these guys. And we see that, okay, Nigeria is actually moving towards the scene of having new faces. We are tired of having our grandpas rule us day in, day out. And that brings me to an article I found online. It says 4 assumptions that influence the 2023 elections. And I'm going to be giving those 4 assumptions and I'm going to be having you react to the 4 of them as we lead on in this conversation. So it's an article written by Afolabi Adekayaoja. I butchered so many names today. I'm not afraid to butcher one more. So, you know, I'll put the link to the article in the chat section if anybody wants to, you know, take a look at it, because it's actually a very, very insightful one. And he writes this. He says the first assumption that will influence 2023 election is actually from the North, you know, that there is no king in the North. That's how he puts it. No king in the North. And I found this very, very fascinating because he gives this kind of contrast to how Buhari won the first and the second election, you know, his first and second run of presidency. And, you know, we assume that APC has a strong base in the North, right? But actually, according to this guy, it's actually quite different. It's Buhari that has the foot in the North. It's Buhari that has the big influence in the North. You know, Buhari won, but they didn't support other APC candidates for governance and everything. And so, running off that, I want to ask you this question. How important do you think the North will be to the 2023 elections?
Okay, thank you for that question. I would just answer the question of the North, then I would say something you talked about as regards to track record. So the question is, how do you think the North can help win the election?
No, the question is what impact would, you know, like with the, for any candidate, you know, any candidate for presidency, how important do you think the North will be for them winning the presidency?
Yeah, so I think the North is very important. I feel they are the most important because their economy and their leadership, that section of the economy is in a precarious position. We have seen that under this administration, they have had over 30 million Northerners out of school. We have seen they have the highest poverty rate amongst other political zones. So the whosoever is going to become the president, his policies, his procedures are going to be very pivotal to the Northerners. So the first thing is this NSAS process and protest has shown that the diatribe of tribalism, oh, he's from the North, oh, he's from the South, oh, he's from the East, doesn't hold ground among the young people, right? So we have come to realize that a lot of people have been sold they have been sold this rhetoric about, oh, the Northerners don't like the South, or the Southerners don't like the North and all. But the Northerners needs an economy that will help them in their own self, because whosoever becomes the president is going to seriously affect them. That's one. Now, two, whosoever is going to become the presidential nominee must, because that's the mistakes these people have made in the past, that's the other presidential nominee. The thing that the North is a lost battle. They feel, oh, no. I mean, there is no need going to the North. Those guys are going to vote for APC. No. These people, go. If you talk to them, if you talk to a normal Northerner in the North, they will tell you about their pain. So they will tell you about the things they need, the things they don't have. And yes, you see people, all these Northern politicians having a siege over them, telling them, no, you must vote us because of some kind of religious reasons. And you see them selling religious reasons why they should vote a particular set of people. These people do not need to be educated, I mean politically, right? So whosoever is going to become the president of the nominee must not say, oh no, we can't win the North. He has to actually put his focus there, because they need a better president, they need a better administration to get them to a better place. So the North plays a very pivotal role in whosoever is going to be the president. And I mean, when I say the North, I mean every single person in the North. Because whosoever is going to become the president, whether it's someone from ABC, PDP, or the Youth Democratic Party, they are going to be most affected, because their livelihood is in a very precarious position. So anything that happens to it, they feel the heat the most. So that's my take on that.
Okay.
On that. So I said I was going to also answer. I also want to answer two questions or two things you raised about as regards to track record.
Yes.
Right. You said, how do, now this is the thing here. track record is like saying, because somebody went to Harvard University or a particular university, person is going to be good, right? So it is for me, it is good to show, okay, this person has a good track record, so therefore we expect that such records to reflect in his policies and procedures in the future. I don't think, I'm against it, because the truth is, we do not need people with track record to prove that they will do well for the country. For example, Donald Trump didn't have any political position. Yes, he has a good, he has done so much as regards to business, but he didn't have any political position prior to before he became president. And see how much well he has done, right? Then you see him running against Joe Biden, who has been in the system for 47 years. And you can see that there is so much disparity between what Donald Trump has done in 4 years. You can count those things. Yes, the media may hate him, the media may smear him, but the facts are undeniable. So for the track record, for the young people, I think the young people need to say, you know what, forget about track record. Do you understand international economy? The truth about this, let me tell you, Daniel, is Nigeria's issues are not far, the solutions to Nigeria's problems are not far-fetched. It's not mysterious. It's not something that we have to go into maybe a particular cave to find. No, this is normal thinking. Normal thinking. Why would you have 660 items on the exclusive list? That already, like I tell people, right? The Constitution is an impediment to national growth. So what the young people should do is, do not come out and say, I'll build road. Do not come out and say, I'll make Naira equal to dollar. No, come out and say, this is what we are going to do. These are the steps we are going to take. This is how we are going. These are the policies we are going to do. And this is the reason why we are going to do this. This is going to be the effect. So I hope you ask me a particular question as regards to the steps young people should take in order to actually secure the win, then I can begin to list out every single step I think is necessary for them to. So if not, I'll just stop there and let you continue with the question.
Yeah. And as regards the whole Trump and Joe Biden issue, I was listening to a video by Simon Sowell.
Thomas Sowell.
And he said Donald Trump is a good president, but he hates listening to the guy. And I think that's the problem most people have, you know. But I think there's something we can learn from Donald Trump, and I think it's something that a lot of people are going to be using for the 2023 election. And it's part of one of the assumptions these guys raised, you understand, that the way we choose our leaders will change. And social media is going to play a very big effect on it. Like, we can already see that our senators and everything, they are trying to create this bill to limit people's interaction online, what they can say, you know, the free speech. They call it the hate speech bill, but sincerely, I call it the new slavery, Nigerian slavery bill, because that's what it is, you know. But there's something there. Social media gives you a direct channel to your people you want, you know. You can go out into the sun.
Everybody's a reporter. Everybody's a reader.
Important on the internet, whether you have five followers or you have 5 million followers. All right. So here's my question now. Because I saw something scary today. I would not lie, I saw something very, very scary today. And what I saw was PDP said, you know, it's anybody that wants to run from the president and is coming to their place, they will allow, including Atiku. And I was like, oh Lord, no. We cannot have another grandpa. We just cannot. Because I was thinking, oh, finally we'll see a time where, you know, every political party will not have to ride on the back of an ex-presidential candidate or an ex-president or an ex-vice president, but it's like as if they're about to ruin that particular trend for us. So now, here's the thing. Young people are already good on social media, right? Like, we don't need to teach young people how to use social media. So here's the thing. What threats do you think the old politicians that we have currently right now, what threat do you think they will pose for the 2023 elections, especially with social media as a play?
So that's a very interesting question. So the threat that these people are going to give in the first place as regards social media is what they're already doing now, right? But they, I think they will fail. Because social media, I was telling my friend yesterday, thank God social media is an American, owned by American companies. Because if Twitter is a Nigerian company, or Instagram is a Nigerian company, then it's going to be very easy. So for as regards to threat on social media, I don't think it's going to be something that would pose, I don't think they have so much to do as regards to social media threats, because Nigerians have proven that we can be here and we would get our voices heard across the world. NSAS was trending in America, number one, trending in the UK, trending in Europe. So I don't think our old politicians can do anything on that. But this is what I think they will do as regards to social media. One, they will begin to pay influencers.
Mm.
They will try to change the narrative.
Mm.
They will try to do... They are not so good at it. Let me tell you, they are not good at it at all. Because if I tell you the work CNN puts in to smear Donald Trump, it is like, huh? So they will do... They will pay people to say a lot of things. They would, but the truth is, who are they paying? They have to pay the young people. So the young people must come together to understand that, see, there is something higher at stake. And I think they're going to find it hard. For example, look at this guy now. What's his name? Adamu. They call him AG. That came to say he was going to sue a Jack for one. So, yeah, I mean, because he can't do anything. You can't do anything to people on Twitter. You can't censor it. Twitter is not in Nigeria. The laws that Twitter obeys are not Nigerian laws. They are NDPR and other international organizations. So what the only thing they can do is they go and pay influencers to spin the narrative. But again, like I said, everybody's a reporter. So that's the only threat they can give as regards to social media. But they have many other threats to give outside social media, I must say.
Yeah, and I'm going to ask you to give like just short, because we are not here to teach people how to exactly win the 2023 elections. You know, we are just here to start that conversation, yeah. Get the ball rolling. But I love what you said about trying to change the narrative, and we already see that happening. Especially it started with the NSAS movement. You know, small things. They hire thugs, and then you know they said we were the ones hiring thugs and everything. But then with the advent of Sherlock Holmes, Fashola. You know, and our honorable governor Sanwo-Olu, you know, who has said 10 different stories concerning one event. I thank God he wasn't an apostle for Jesus Christ in the Bible, because we will not have a coherent story of Jesus at all, you know. But you see,
the reason why he's in that position is because you need in the early 2000s, you need a van with satellite dish to share a live video. But all you need is the phone and IG Live. So every single person is a reporter at every single point in time. So they are like, how do we, for example, they tried to block Frontal Wave. They went Bitcoin. CBN is like, how do we do this? I mean, how do we handle these guys? People are already saying, if they block the internet, we go VPN. And they're like, exactly. No. So the thing is, when it comes to social media, they can do very little. That's the truth. Mm. They can do very little. So what Saulu tried to do was to play the social media game. He went to CNN. He went on, you know, at the point, everybody was like, Arise TV is the correct news. And Arise TV is the main channel now. He went on Arise TV. Oh, Fowles did an interview with CNN. Oh, guess what? He had to go and book on CNN. So the politicians, see, let me not lie to you. Young people have the government where they need them.
Hmm.
The SARS may not have ended, but we have the government exactly where we need them. Wow. So you wanted to ask me a question?
Yes. In fact, what you just said just blew, like, it just blew my mind. Like, I've actually forgotten my question. Like, wow, we have them where, can you please expand on that a little bit more? Like, just a little bit more.
Okay. So I tell people this, and I tell them this with, if you heard my social media, if you heard my podcast on socialism and capitalism, I said, Nigerians are the most patriotic people on earth, but we have not been able to express ourselves. Nigerians are so patriotic, Daniel, I tell you. The reason is we have not seen a leader to tap into that patriotism. But all I needed to prove my point was NSAS. People were ready to die for a country that has given them nothing. Even while people were shooting, people gathered flags. People sang national anthem. In America, during protests, we were breaking things, burning flags. In Nigeria, we raised the flag. Our grandparents told us, tribalism, tribalism, tribalism. Let me tell you, the only place tribalism exists in Nigeria is in the political space. The only place, I will say it and I will say it again, the only tribalism is just a mystery. I tell you, and it only exists in the political space. In Lagos here, how many ask people that go for NYSC in the north? They will tell, I went to the north, but I'm like, because all my parents and all the people around me, I grew up in the east, all they told me was, oh, the Northerners are the worst people on earth. They hate the Igbo people. I went to the north in Abuja. And I was staying with my aunts. So the two of them had to travel out for on an urgent reason. And I had a neighbor who was a northerner. This man fed us for 4 days. I work in an office where my manager is a northerner. This man is, it's almost, I'm like, for me, I'm like, he is the best person I've ever worked with. So you see the thing? They have sold us tribalism, but we have shown them that it doesn't work. You know, I was telling my friend that this protest may just be the South, the East, and the West. When I saw the people come out in Jos and Kanu, I'm like, what? The amount of people that turned up in Kanu for this same NSAS protest? So we have the government where we need them. Now, what the government are going to do is they're going to work over time, like they have done with the hoodlums. They'll pay them 200K. They pay them whatever amount to destroy the protest. Now, the young people of Nigeria have to step back, re-strategize. And their strategy is not about protest. It's about going. You know me. I've done a lot of reading. I've done reading about how people overturn governments. What they need to do is, one, and I'm sorry that I am over answering your question, because there's something I want to touch on. There's something deeply I want to touch on. They need to go straight into, in quote, those inner cities. They need to speak the local language of those people if they have to. They need to tell them what is at stake. They need to go straight down to the swamps and whatever those hoodlums. They need to go there and tell them, see, what you're doing, what you're going to do is pivotal to what your children will enjoy. So the way our campaign should be structured shouldn't be about social media, which is important, which is what the government is trying to suppress. But we need to go straight down deep to places we have never been to. Did you know that people never voted in America until Donald Trump came into power? They said, they were telling me, like people are saying, the political enthusiasm, when Donald Trump came into power was unmatched.
Wow.
People are coming from Alaska, the mountains, to vote for him. Look at him right now. See the people who tell that I've never voted all my life, I voted for Donald Trump. So we need to forget about social media, because all we need is 2-3 influencers to get the news spreading. Now we need to calm down. Oh, Yoruba, go to the deepest, forgotten village you can ever think about. Now, while you're doing that, we must work with INEC. Yes, it is not easy, but we must work with INEC. We must work with INEC to make sure that they make voters registration as easy as possible, so that these people are able to vote well. we must push the government that they must have security agencies at every polling duty to ensure that people who are voting are safe enough. But again, I'll stop here and hope for your next question.
Yes. Actually, you touched on something that I was going to talk about, and that is how, and it's actually the fourth and last assumption in the article I spoke of, is how the elections still won't be fair and free in 2023. Like Rob Collins from Miami said something, he said, do young people in Nigeria feel like the elections there are safe? And or do young people in Nigeria feel like their vote matters? And the truth is, for a while, our vote hasn't mattered, or we haven't felt that it matters. That is what, you know, the change is bringing in 2023. Our votes are going to matter. If they don't want it to matter, we'll make it matter. Like, I love what you said. We do have them where we want them right now.
Yeah.
And I just realized that we might be on a 40-minute schedule. I don't know why that is. I thought I already fixed that. But It has been extended. Okay, thank you. Thank you.
I saw the notice.
Said it got extended, yeah.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Because I was wondering, I thought I had a timer somewhere up here. Thank you very much. Okay, so since it has been extended, that means we can go into this a little bit deeper. Although I don't want to extend this too long. But for anyone having network issues or anyone who knows who would have loved to be here and is currently not, the audio for this will be released on the podcast tomorrow. So towards the end of the meeting, I'll be putting a link in the chat section where you can join the mailing list for the podcast, and I can mail you the link to the podcast once it's released tomorrow. So that's settled. Going back to the thing about INEC, you know, elections still won't be free. It still won't be fair in 2023. Like, if we expect elections to be fair, if we expect, you know, these people to not play dirty, we are simply keying into the narrative that we are naive, we don't think forward and everything. So here's my question. And I'm a Christian. Fighting dirty is not our thing. Fighting dirty is not our thing. Jesus said, be crafty, but at the same time, he said, don't be like, you know, like the children of the world. So how can, using Jesus' words, how can we be crafty yet still not play dirty like these people?
Okay, thank you very much for that question, Daniel. For a very long time, I've done a lot of study on the art of war.
Mm.
I have read Sun Tzu. I probably must have mastered it in my fingertips.
Wow.
I read about Napoleon and how he did with the French Revolution. I don't know what I'll tell you. From day one, YDP, that's the Youth Democratic Party, is going to be an enemy.
Mm.
From day one. And because we're running out of time, I'm going to just say a lot of things. And I'll answer your question and answer further questions. From day one, YDP is going to be an enemy. An enemy that has a blue eye target at the back.
Mm.
So the thing I tell people is, while YDP is being created, I have two propositions. One is young people should flood APC and PDP while YDP is being created. Infiltrate them from within. That's one.
Whoa.
Now, infiltrating them from within is the most important, because you'll be seen as an enemy. So that is the first thing. YDP is already been an enemy from the beginning. But young people should enter, because the point is not just with the 2020, the point is an ultimate change.
Further into the future.
So
basically the Trojan horse tactic.
Exactly, the Trojan horse tactic. So get in there, you missing as enemy. Challenge the system as much as you can.
Hmm.
Seem eloquent. Get to the hearts of the leadership. Understand the political landscape. Be who you have to be. Right? When you get in, if you get a political position, Senate, legislator, you have the YDP to switch to.
Hmm.
That's simple. That's one. Two, which is, now I'm going to answer your question about how votes are going to matter. But I don't want to answer that question without laying down the second tactics, which is for me the most important.
Hmm. Please go on.
The young people in my opinion, now this is my personal opinion. If you're hearing this at home, if you're hearing it now, just calm down and follow me. The young people of this country must create two parties, not one party. We were together, the same voice, the same hands raised up for NSAS protests. The unity was unmatched. We are not going to be united in politics, Daniel, I tell you this. Because why are the young people not going to be united in politics? Because there are ideologies that we will not share. Politics, that's the way politics is. Every politician wants, in a normal sense of things, wants their country to be well, to be good, to develop. Where politics come into play is the approach. Approach is capitalism. Now, the truth is, let me give you this scenario. You create YDP and you make the chief or the presidential nominee of that.
Hello? Hello? Sorry, please call me back by 9:30.
From the one, I won't. I'm sorry, I won't. You saw it during the protest.
Sorry, please.
It's changed from
Kelechi. A call came in now, so it kind of disrupted. Who's this one? Please call me back by 9:30.
Issue?
Yeah, he's frozen.
Okay. Can everybody hear me now?
Okay, someone called you.
Yes,
someone
called a you. Call okay, came so, in. I didn't...
So,
yes.
All right, no problem. So, I'll say something. So, yeah. Now, you saw it during the protest. When? How did we get here? Even the LGBT community. I'm like, see, that's not the point. So the point is, we are going to be divided. And it's not a bad thing. It's not bad at all. Right? It's not bad at all. Like, I have almost everybody in my family supports the Democrats. I'm like, no, I'm sorry. I'm a Republican guy. Right? But we still eat on the same day, divided in some point. Yeah, people are going to be like, oh, no, you have to. I can't support YDP. And I know you can't. If they come out with another, for example, you see young people that have been talking about marijuana and all, and legalizing marijuana and all. But this is the point I'm trying to make. Create two parties with two distinctive ideologies. The reason why I'm saying this is this. If I Democratic Party, you know exactly what my values are. Just like if someone tells you, you know exactly what to expect from him. But you need to create two ideologies, parties. Now, why is this? Some may be like, that's counterintuitive. You're dividing the youth. No. You're not dividing the youth. You are creating a different battleground that doesn't contain APC and PDP. Then when you create these two political parties, what do you do next? You start a political campaign from 2021. Have a media like BBNG. Okay, so they begin to policies they think that would work. They begin to lay down the policies they think that would be operative. While they are doing this, the people's eye are moving away from APC PDP to YDP. So while they are doing that, they're able to raise funds. So imagine this. You create that more like a political debate where they say, okay, we have a representative from YDP, or we have a representative from that's the Youth Democratic Party. I have a representative from the Youth Republican Party. What policies are you going to put in place, assuming you're the president? The Democratic Party may say, okay, you know what, I will go with socialism. The Republican Party may say, okay, I will go with capitalism. Now, lay down the reason that they can begin to you know how to do with them big brother Nigeria, where
yes,
they tell people to vote and they collect cash from them. With that, they can also raise money. Do you get? So at the end of the debate, they can say, okay, who won? For whoever won this debate, you guys should vote at this. They charge you 50 naira. The ISP collects maybe 10 naira or 20 naira. The campaign collects 30 naira. Then that 30 naira is being split into 15 naira, 15 naira within the parties. Do you get? So while they are doing that, this political debate is going on in different states, not just Lagos. So you have a political debate on, let's say, for example, should you do private healthcare system or global healthcare system, which is going to be better for the Nigerian people? You can have that particular debate. People can actually tune into it from DSTV. People can actually attend it, people who are in Kano. So the people in Kano can say, oh, these people actually know that we are here. Because the truth about that, as you say, the massacre that happened in Lekki has happened in the East. It happened in the East. Surprising, I'm not surprised, but people didn't talk about it. It happened in the North. In Zamfara, it's even sounded in peace. So the Lekki massacre became viral because it happened in the most peaceful place. So that's the second thing. So why they are doing this? They're educating people. The two parties have different ideologies, but they're working together. Because what I expect is going to happen around 2022 is APC and PDP, we all know they're the same thing. They'll come together and be like, oh, let's fight these guys down. But if they want to fight us down, they have to fight. And they can't win a battle easily on two fronts. But if it's one party, it is easier for them to just, two parties come together to fight one party. It's easier. So the most important, we need to have two parties who would come out with ideologies, not just party for party, say, this is our ideology. We are libertarians. This one is, we are conservatives. So what happens is, whoever is in the Nigerian system that is more inclined to being a libertarian can go towards that side, that's the left. Or who is inclined to be in the whoever is inclined to being in the right can go to the right, which is conservatives. That is okay. That is totally fine. But again, what you're creating a political enthusiasm, because what you need to understand is you're not going to support every single political person. That's the truth about it. But you need to have an ideology. So the first thing you need to do is you have to create what they call, this is something that people are against in America, but you have to create what they call identity politics. So if I am, for example, if someone in America tells you he's a conservative, you know what to expect from him. Oh, this person is pro-life, or this person believes in the Second Amendment, or this person believes in capitalism, or this person doesn't play the victim card, or this person respects religion and all those stuff. If someone says he's a liberal person, this person is pro-choice, this person is LGBTQ, and it's fine. This person is a socialist, and it's fine. But the point is, a battleground with two different people, with two different big people, so that the eyes can move away from APC and PDP. Then when the time comes in 2023 for us to vote, you can now play what I call the weakness tactics. You can ask, you know what? One party can decide to bring a lower candidate, a candidate that is not that pushing the other person. Whatever the tactics is, but the point is, young people have to create two political parties. And therefore, for the Nigerian votes mattering, let me tell you, our vote will never matter until we have first electronic voting. That's the truth about it. We need electronic voting. We solely need electronic voting in this country. And the day we have it, the day, because that day, rigging an election, rigging in Nigeria, will be completely obliterated. So that's my two cents. I'm done. That's my two cents, then. Daniel.
You're on mute, Daniel.
Okay, sorry, I didn't know I was muted. Sorry. Thank you very much. So I was trying to say that technically this podcast is supposed to be a self-development, you know, podcast, but I believe you can't develop yourself if you don't pay attention to what's happening in your country, in your state, you know, in all areas. You cannot fully develop yourself because you have to interact with your society. I believe in two identities. You have your individual identity And that individual identity has to interact with your social community identity. And I'm not like the tactics, the way you phrase them, it made you sound like this diabolical villain from comic books. You know, like we have Lex Luthor on the show right now, and he, you know, we are treading
the lines. I don't know what that means.
We are treading the lines between playing dirty and just being smart. And I think that is what the 2023 elections is going to look like. You know, it's going to look like we are going to have to make a lot of concessions and do some, you know, uncomfortable things, but we'll have to be careful not to be the people we are trying. You know, there's a quote. I think this is much more familiar among gamers and among gamer comic creators. It's a quote that you live so long as the hero that someday you become the villain. And that's the next thing I want to talk about, because
just like Black Lives Matter.
Exactly. How do we end up not becoming the very same thing that we are trying to fight?
Now, that question you asked, I have technically answered it by setting up every political party that is set up must have values. This is not what you like doing. No, these are our values. These are things we stand for. If someone tells you he's a Republican, see, this is why in America today, where are all the protests happening in America? Democratic states. The states that still have lockdown till tomorrow, Democratic states. States that support the Second Amendment, Republican states. So there are value. You have your personal value, which is okay, but every political party must have its own political value. And this is why the Democrats are running mad, because they have gone so radical. They are ready to do the most dangerous thing just to get Trump. So they are beginning to drift away from their own political value. So the question about not being like them is you need to create value, because nobody can hold a political leader accountable more than his party people. That's the truth about it. Yes, the people they elected you, quite all right, can always hold you accountable. But the people who are from your party have a better chance of impeaching you. Because the day they go for impeachment, definitely people on the opposite side will vote that you get impeached. So you have to rely on the people on your own political party to save you now. So if the people of the political party sees that you have deviated from their ideology, then you stand no chance. So the first thing is we need to it's like creating strict political values. The reason why Christianity till tomorrow is still untouched, no matter how many false prophets we have, is that the values of Christianity is so unequivocal. You cannot second guess it. So we need to have political values. The party must come out to say, this is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And before you become a president or become a presidential nominee, you must take an oath. You must say, if I don't achieve what I'm supposed to achieve in 4 years, then I'll step down. Whatever it is, but they must have political values.
I agree.
That's the answer to that.
I agree. So basically, in summary, what I'm basically saying is, for there to be a change in the 2023 elections, especially if young people are going to be taking the helm of that particular landscape, that first off, we need to be smart, but not play dirty. So we need to take our tactics well, but not play dirty. You know, create a fight on two fronts, and have a set value system.
True.
Set value system, and also have a set accountability system for those values. So I believe I got everything right.
Yes, you did.
Okay, so
yes, you did.
Finally for tonight, I want to, you know, allow people in the chat section, if you have any question, you can drop them now, and then, you know, Kelechi can answer them before we have to end for tonight. So you have like 10 minutes for, no, 10 minutes is too long. 5 minutes for that, you know, the next 5 minutes.
Yeah.
If you have any questions, so, please drop them. Any last words from your side before?
Yeah, so I have a lot of things to say. I'm sorry that we have a very short time. But the thing about it is that we need to be very, like I told my friend the first day, if you ask me what is the strategy for us to win, I told him the strategy is this. As in, like, summary of everything I've said is be water. Be water. Be fluid. Be able to take any shape at any time, any state of matter, because water can go from ice, solid, to plasma. Be able to take any shape at any time. Be fluid. Be flexible. Because the truth about this, we are not playing with people who are naive. These people have been in politics. Power runs through their veins. The next thing that will happen is they will start paying people to get into those political parties by the time we created them. That's the truth about it. By the time we create YDP and YRP, next thing, they'll say, just take this money, enter the political party. Let's know what they are doing. And just be like the mole there. That would be a tactic for them. But how can you now detect those moles that these politicians will send? Because they will send them.
Mm-hmm.
How will you detect them? The ideologies, the political ideologies. We don't stand. That's why sometimes, I don't know if you know this woman, Tomi Lawrence.
Yes.
No matter how Tomi Lawrence says she's a conservative, people don't agree with her. Because Tomi Lawrence is not a conservative. Many conservatives disagree with her because of the things she says. Do you get? So the point is, when you are able to create that ideology, when someone comes into your party, think about it. Have you seen people move from Republican to Democrats or Democrats to Republicans as fast as people in Nigeria move from APC to PDP? Next thing, they have moved. As in, their reasons are very, very, like, it's, I'm like, how? But by the time you begin to see, create those political values, an ideology. If someone comes and tells you, I'm in YDP, but I support abortion. No, you can't be in YDP and support abortion. You can't be a Republican and support abortion. So you'll be able to sift out those people. And the truth about it is that I have read so much about Donald Trump and about the American politics that I know that what we are going to see in 2023, we have to be very, very, very careful, brave, and people who are going to run for this thing have to be patriotic. Because after becoming the president, the next issue you have in this country is the legislative arm of government, because you cannot pass anything without them.
Yes, yes.
So we need to actually focus on the legislative arm of government. And then, finally, we can now focus on the judiciary, because let me not talk about that. But that is my 2 cents, unless people have more questions. Let me not take more time.
Okay, so no questions have come, and we have almost run into 1 hour. I don't want this to be longer than that. So I don't think we've heard every single thing that you had to say, like what you just said last now, you know, focusing on judiciary. Like, that seems like another hour long discussion that we need to have. So maybe what I'll do is I'll find another time for us to do, you know, a little bit more, and then focus on other things that we couldn't address today. But I want to thank you so very much for showing up, and every single person who is here currently. Rob Collins, Rob Collins from Miami, you are a glad surprise. Like, I wasn't expecting anybody outside of Nigeria to be joining in. So thank you very much. I hope this discussion was interesting enough. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, please, can you just tell me what you guys think? At least, I think I'll make you happy. They just give me their own. Please.
Yeah, exactly. Like, anybody have 2 cents to join? Yes. Mr. Goodluck.
George, just tell me, what you think about what I said?
Yes. I was waiting for an opportunity to talk, and thank you for this. I just want to thank, incidentally, we shared, we have same name. I want to thank Kelechi for his ideologies, his understanding about politics, elections, revolution, and, you know, young people, we have, you know, right from when I was young, they say young, we are the leaders of tomorrow, and then the tomorrow never comes. So I think the NSAS thing created an awareness. It created a kind of, you know, mindset that if you don't do something radical, these people are not going to give you the chance. Until they die, that's when they leave the place. So I want to thank you for your ideology. It makes a whole lot of sense. I appreciate. In fact, I would love to maybe after now have a way of, you know, to keep in touch, then we can discuss for that, because I like your idea of French Revolution, Sun Tzu, the art of war, you know, a lot of you know, books around politics, which you mentioned, yeah. And trust me, they make a whole lot of sense. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kelechi. I appreciate it.
Yes. Anyone else? Rob, do you have any 2 cents you'd like to drop quickly?
I was about to type it. I'll type it and say it. It's really great that y'all. It's really impressive, Kelechi, how much you know about what's going on here, and it's actually really shameful how little we know about what's going on in Nigeria here in the United States. And I've been in Nigeria. I have friends there. And I want to know more, and I don't know that much. So there's a lot of people here who, actually, as you said, there's indifference about what's happening around you. So there's people, just like you said about in Nigeria, there's people in the US who don't even know or seem to care what's happening in the US, much less in other places. So I really appreciate how aware you are. Certainly, you know, that you know what's going on here, but it's great that you care about what's happening there. Because there's a lot of people who don't even care what's happening right around them.
Yeah, thank you. It's just so much reading I have done. I did a lot of reading on this, so I appreciate your comments. Thank you.
Yes, okay, so I think that's everyone. Kelechi, good luck, Kelechi, who apparently is from Babcock, because I'm also at the Babcock. Yes, we're allowed to be proud. Yeah.
I graduated from Covenant University.
I beg you, Covenant. We don't do Covenant.
He's from Covenant. Covenant is good too. So Covenant is good.
Yeah, thank you, NS. Thank you, NS. I appreciate
it. I just
like, let's take my people.
Yeah.
Okay. So
that. Daniel, thank you very much, Daniel, for giving me this very, very, very rare opportunity to speak about these political issues. And I appreciate you, and I appreciate everyone who was able to listen to me talk about so many things at the same time. And I just hope that one day we would all be able to look back at Nigeria and look back at this moment and say that we are the change, we caused the change we wanted to see. So thank you very much, Daniel, for having me. And thank you all for listening.
Yes. Thank you so very much. It's such an honor.
Maybe you should be the presidential candidate.
Hey, oh Lord, oh Lord. Oh Lord.
because you seem to have it all figured out. Do you get? You seem to have it all figured out. You know the next step to take. You know what they're going to do. And, you know, it's as if you are like, Agent Kelechi now, not Agent Fash. You know the next thing to do. Maybe you should front.
Fronting is going to disobey some laws of power. I'm not ready yet. I know when I'll be.
So I have to end this now because this is going to be a little bit difficult to edit for the podcast. But I am so happy that we had this.
No, leave it.
You know. So, okay, just brief information before I let everybody go. Please sign up for the mail list. I dropped the link in the comment section. You can quickly copy the link out now or just click on it to sign up, because I'll be sending information about our host, Kelechi. If you want to get in touch with him, you can actually get in touch. He's such a nice guy. Like, he's free to talk to, you know. I'll also be sending you a link of his own podcast so you can listen to him.
Thank you.
Because what he gave us here is just a tip of the iceberg, you know. So, so that's that. I'll also be sending links about my own podcast. Like I said, I'm a, you know, self-development guy, but I believe you can't develop yourself if you don't talk about things happening around you, which is the focus of this season for the podcast. So there'll be much more things coming around your way. So thank you so very much once again for showing up, guys. Like, I really, really do appreciate this. Please spread the word that those who missed this, they missed so much. Like, they missed a goodness, like goodness that came from the cornucopia of wisdom that is Kelechi.
Yeah.
You know? So thank you so very much. Have a great night, everybody. And bye-bye.
So hello, guys. And thank you so very much for listening to this episode of the podcast. Thank you so very much for making it up to this point. I know today's one was a long one, but I trust it was a helpful one. And also sorry for the, you know, issues with the network. This is Nigeria. You know how it is. And if you want to, you know, chat up with the guest, Mr. Kelechi Oji, you can find him on his social media. On Instagram, he's kelechi.oji. On Facebook, he's Kelechi Oji. Oji is spelled O-J-I, in case you were wondering. And also, you can visit his podcast also, Agree to Disagree. It's called A2D Talk Show, Agree to Disagree Talk Show, where he visits, you know, very, very, very sensitive issues and is not afraid to bring up either sides of the conversation. And again, thank you so very much for making it up to here. I don't want to hold you on too long. Remember to follow our socials. On Instagram, it is at Volatile with Daniel. On Twitter, it is at Daniel Brings. The link to all of this is in the description below. We have a landing page, you know. And don't forget to subscribe to the mail list. Don't forget to subscribe to the mail list. We need you on the mail list. Why? So that we can always get information across to you. And you can know when meetings are going to be happening and different things like that. Once again, thank you so very much for listening. And I'll see you guys in the next episode.